Blog Talk Radio.
Wolverines Freedom Radio, broadcasting all around the world,
bringing real news, politics, and even conspiracy theories.
Unlike the other guys, we won't silence you.
Join us on the latest updates with William Bernard, Virgil Sprages, Russell Hodd, right now.
Younger audience discretion advised.
That I am, but there's things going on that make me mad to the core. I gotta work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the streets, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. They tell our kids to just say no, then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go, slaps him on his wrist, and he turns him back out on the town. If I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up high and let them swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Watch where you go. Remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man. Yeah, I'm the kind of man wouldn't harm a mouse. But if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but I darn sure will. If you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on. As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. And I got a way to put an end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp, put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Yeah, the good book says it, so I know it's true. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go. Remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man. Watch where you go. Remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man.
Bipolar weather up here in New Mexico is unpredictable. I just had to turn my AC on. But anyhow, I do got Carabodini on here. He's going to be speaking here in just a little bit. But right now, Russell, how you doing, brother? Are you there, Russell? You may just be listening in doing paperwork.
I'm sorry. I had myself muted. No, I'm hanging in there, man. Just watching this chess game going on. It's most interesting, I tell you.
I know. I mean, Carmelita's been talking. I've been listening through channels about the UK thing. That kind of says it's not really going to happen, that it's all propaganda. But from what I'm seeing, I can't tell, you know, and everything. But it's really getting tense right up there right now. And everything, but well, I probably think probably tonight or tomorrow they may just do it. What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of watching to see what happened, and the two separatist part of Ukraine asked for to be independently recognized, and Putin did that and enrolled Russian troops in as a peacekeeping force. So for all intents and purposes, they're in Ukraine now. Nobody else has recognized them as independent or autonomous, I guess you call them states, other than Russia. And so Putin does that and rolls his troops in there. So in effect, you now have Russian troops in Ukraine, but they're peacekeeping force. Course.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I mean, I know the propaganda is way out of proportion on this and everything. But, you know, I did got Karen Bodini on her. She's actually one of our favorite friends up here because we've had her on the show and want to let her talk about her experience in the hospital and everything. And, you know, Russell, we had some friends that we know that were, you know, that died and some that were killed, you know, like Carmen Melita's dad. He was murdered at the Maryland hospital, you know, just for something routine. They killed him, claiming it was COVID and everything.
Karen came
down with COVID about, let's say last month, I think, or month before last, and she went through her ordeal. Karen, how you doing, my friend? Good to hear from you again.
Hey, yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on your show. Can you hear me okay?
Quite welcome. Oh, yeah, we can hear you. I know, you know, when you were sick, I didn't realize how bad you were, you know, because I had texted you and didn't know you were in a hospital. You texted me and said you were in a hospital and everything and stuff. But why don't you tell everybody what you went through? Because I saw your live feed with Jody and everything, and that's what, you know, I was like, you need to have you on the show just to talk about that instead of politics for a change. You get a little break from that.
Right. Sure. Well, it happened in October, and it seemed like the days have been flying by, so it seems closer than we remember. But it was the second week in October, and I was in there for about a week and a half, but it was such a blur that it felt like only was 5 days. But when I came out of it and got my mind, it was about 12, 13 days out, so it was quite an ordeal.
Right.
But I did, they didn't think it was COVID at first, because during that time, I was visiting all the farms, and right that time, New Mexico Department of Transportation was shredding and clearing the sides of the freeways and the highways of all state roads, and because I was driving miles, hundreds of miles, you know, campaigning, I was going through these big dust bowls of stuff, I started coughing, and you know, it eventually turned into something. They told me I had valley fever, and so they wouldn't treat me with COVID or anything like that. But when it got really bad and my oxygen level dropped, I went to the hospital, and they told me that they stick that swab up your nose, and they told me it was positive. But I went so far down in my oxygen that they had to fly me out from Gallup, New Mexico, to Phoenix, Arizona, to a bigger hospital to help me.
And that's where the ordeal started, huh? Oh, I lost her. Hopefully she called back in. But anyway, because I know she's kind of at where the signal's kind of rough. So, but anyhow, Russell, you know, Tushkin's back. We'll talk a little bit. But, you know, with everything going on, trucker convoy, 60 coming on and everything, and I heard that Biden has declared some state of emergency. Oh, there she is.
Well, again, all of it.
There.
Yeah, well, I'm on the northern part of the state of New Mexico, and our infrastructure is pretty limited. And so I am functioning on, you know, minimal technical service. I'll keep calling back until we finish this interview. But that's what happened to me. They flew me out, and so I was hooked into an oxygen tank, and that's where I stayed. And I was so lethargic, and I couldn't even function. They started to give me steroids to breathe, and also tons of antibiotics to clear up the infection in my lungs. But inadvertently, steroids spiked my sugar, and they said, well, you're Native American, check. She's female, check. She's overweight, check. So she must be diabetic. It's our chicken with sugar. I found out later on after everything was done that my sugars were spiking between 500 and 600 and sometimes 700. I couldn't even see straight.
Wow.
And it was a steroid that they were giving me that was spiking my sugars. And then they wanted me to get ready for remdesivir. And they said all these medications, they lined them all up. And I, even though I was very functional, I was taking screenshots or pictures of them, and I was sending them out. And I was, you know, having my...
Now, are you diabetic?
No, I wasn't diabetic. Nope. But I was medically induced diabetic when I left the hospital.
Wow.
So the medications that gave me put me in that state. And I actually began taking the food that they were giving me was making me worse. Everything white tortillas, white rice, a little bit of chicken, full-blown sugar pudding, cans of Pepsi. I actually have pictures of this on my Facebook. But I literally think they were trying to put me into a diabetic coma. They wanted me to get ready for remdesivir. So remdesivir is the drug of choice for the protocol across America, I believe, for COVID. But it's given everyone renal failure, and once you get to that point, they put you, you know, you they put you on the actual ventilators, and it's over. And then you die in the hospital. So I knew this. So I fought not to have remdesivir put into my system. And they said, well, because you're fighting this, we're going to have to make you sign a do not resuscitate order. So they wanted me to sign a DNR, which I wouldn't. I was getting very upset with them. But I wanted I wanted ivermectin, but they wouldn't give me ivermectin. So we had to use some of the telemedicine using a app called Medici.
Wow. Lost her again. Does this sound familiar to you, Russell? Does that sound all familiar?
Yeah, it truly does. Hang on, brother. Yeah, it does.
Hopefully she's trying to call back.
What did you make sure the... mic was turned on.
Is.
I'm sorry. There we go. I mean, you know, we've heard these stories for...
Hello,
you know,
I'm sorry.
They're saying...
Oh, that's okay.
We straight up know that they heard these people. Puerto Rican friend's father, and some of that stuff.
Virgil's friend.
Pretty sketchy, too, you know what I mean?
So, Karen, go ahead and talk and everything and stuff. I know you're going to keep losing singles, so... But go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard. I'm sorry, but this is basically the real life of where we're coming from. But that's what happened. Basically, they were trying to kill me, and so I had to fight my way out with using that Medici app and then also ivermectin. They had to prescribe it through telemed, and I had to have people chase it down in a pharmacy that would fill it. And then they had to smuggle it in through my bags of clothes, and then I had to self-medicate while I just had IV and oxygen and vitamins, and the doctors couldn't figure out how I was getting better. So that was basically my story in a nutshell. But I believe it. They're murdering people left and right.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, we heard, like Russell was saying. Go ahead, Russell.
I was just going to say yes, and did y'all see, was it yesterday? I want to say it was yesterday. Yeah, you know how I am. Yesterday could be 1 or freaking 4 days sometimes, depending on how tired I am. But Bill Gates, did y'all hear Bill Gates' little statement there? There will be another pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read that. Did you care?
And that's scary because our hospital system is not ready for this. I mean, once they roll something out again, we're going to be trying to pick up the pieces, and I don't think the American people are ready for that, or the world, for that matter.
Right.
Well, I
think they're at least. Go ahead, Russell.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
They're at least in this. They were testing something up in New York from what I was reading. It's biological stuff in the business systems and everything. And releases it. And then Biden, 2 days ago, had a call for a state of emergency and everything. So,
Yeah, well, you're
planning.
Well, you know, this is not over. And it, you know, it all ties together. You know, I mean, for lack of a better word, Fauci, Gates, the CEO of Pfizer and Moderna. I'm sorry, our government. At this point in time, they are war criminals. The truth has come out. We know that this stuff was sent to Wuhan by Fauci to be brought forward. And I mean, it's and anybody thinking people are going to stop are ridiculous. I mean, it's get to the point and to where there is no return. I mean, you've got them still trying to push this narrative that's been rattling on them. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying COVID isn't real. COVID is very real, but I don't think it was as deadly as it was made out to be. I think the hospitals, let's say, aided and abetted a lot of the deaths that happened. And, you know, just like normal flu, if you've got underlying health conditions, it's going to hit you harder than it will somebody who's semi-healthy or someone like me who's pretty much healed. You know, it's going to have different effects on you and stuff. But you take that, and people are tired of it. They've seen the facts. Canada and, of course, they've been pretty much beaten into submission. I'm not going to change your topic. I'm going to let y'all carry on, but I just want to say one thing about that stuff. You know, and that's really sad. Those guys did that. There comes a time in the face of tyranny that you can't be peaceful, and
that's true.
You know, you're not going to be on tear gas and rubber bullets with peace, love, and understanding. So
that's true.
No, there's go ahead, Joe.
And what one of the things I was going to say is, and I know Karen will probably back me up on this because I've researched this as well, for each person they kill, whether it's Native American, babies, blacks, or whites, they get paid between $150,000 to or more, and some $98,000.
Yeah,
for each person
that's
they
what
kill.
We found out too. Yes, and so if you die on a ventilator, that's what a lot of the COVID money was being put aside for when they were giving us big balloon packages to fight the COVID. You know, relief packages that we're giving from the federal government. So those stipulations are so the hospitals would get paid if you lost someone on a ventilator. And so they were using it for PPE and different things. So they had to make sure you were actually diagnosed with COVID for them to get that money. And for you to die on a ventilator, they get a big chunk of that money for their hospitals. So it's pretty scary, but you get a price on your head when you go in. So, I agree with that.
One of my other things that I got confirmed, too, was that the reason why they actually fired some of these doctors and nurses, they wouldn't comply with these orders like our friend Jody and everything. They replaced them with FEMA doctors and nurses that would follow those orders to kill. Am I mistaken, or was that confirmed? Because I heard it.
Well, that's what I understood what was happening, because when I went into the hospital, I never saw the same nurse twice. If I did, it was, you know, they were being switched around. I kept thinking, wow, there's a whole bunch of you working here. And they're like, oh, yeah, but we're not from here. And they all had different accents from, you know, from the South and Texas. You could tell. And they said, no, we're traveling nurses, and we come and we move. we move in groups. And I thought, oh, okay. And one night I was listening to them when I was sleeping, and I would get up and, you know, do things. And the nurses' station was right around my room, and I heard them talking about, you know, FEMA and how it's being set up and how things are being paid out. So this is cost extra. It's lucrative to be a traveling nurse as opposed to a stationary nurse that lives in the facility. And every doctor that I had except one were all foreigners. They weren't American doctors. And so I was trying to get my point across about, you know, my cultural stuff, because they were trying to do some certain things that weren't good for me, like having a male nurse, something you don't do in my culture, especially when you're sick as a female, and you have to have women attend to you. And so I had to go through those processes, and then I found out that a lot of them weren't even from the area, and so we lost our hospitals. Now they're ballooned by these. They're all vaccinated, heavily vaccinated to work there. So all the conservative doctors and nurses that believe us that ivermectin works, hydroxychloroquine works, all these different things work, they were all let go because they wouldn't take the jab. And so what are you left with in the hospital is a bunch of leftist thinking, believing, Fauci type people. And so I believe that we lost our hospitals. And so it's a very scary thing if you don't know a lot of medical terminology or have an advocate to help you through the process.
Exactly. And the thing that I've noticed, too, and it's like what Russell was saying, you know, this is, you know, planned out and everything for the next one, which is going to be a bad one. And I'm wondering if these FEMA camps, doctors and so forth, you know, or, you know, when they release this other chemical biological stuff and everything, how many that's going to kill, you know, and the stuff too. And I know when I had COVID, I had it when it very first came out, and Russell could vouch for this. I was so sick, Karen. I was wishing death would come get me. That's how bad it was. And because I had
it's pretty painful.
And I still have it, it impacts everything. It does. And I still have breathing issues sometimes from it and everything. But I never went to the hospital or anything. And my roommate, Trish, I told her, I said, you know, I'm kind of well enough. I think I'll just go down the street and go to the clinic, you know, because I didn't know I had COVID because we didn't know anything about it and everything. So they gave me steroids and sinus medications and everything else. And within the next day, I was up and around, you know. And Eric said, but the doctor, my doctor told me, she goes, you know, I think you had COVID. I go, I know I did. Because it was the worst experience in my life, you know.
Well, but, and I think when you get COVID, the actual virus itself, when you get it, is completely beatable if you catch it early. But what they were doing is they're telling everyone to go home and quarantine with your family and infect them and then tell you're in dire straits. Mm-hmm. What Jody was talking about is when the virus actually starts to multiply and it's overly populated in your body, it's the hardest time to fight it. So they need to catch it early and use the medications that work on it, and that's what they were doing. So going back to Russell, what he was saying about the next wave, I think it's not even a wave of bioweapons. I think it's the third booster, because you're seeing the third booster causing a lot of havoc. People are literally dying of heart attacks now. I was talking to a lady in Farmington. The mandates made it that her health care provider, they use home care or hospice type health care that she runs a small business. They're made to get the vaccines, and all of her employees and workers are now having actual physical health problems now. Some of them are having heart palpitations. They start breaking into a sweat. Their blood pressure goes up. I mean, they're having all kinds of issues. Joint problems, muscle problems, brain problems, headaches, they can't see. So the third booster might be the actual weapon that Russell's talking about. It might be here, and we're just not talking about it.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I know. Go ahead, Russell. Go ahead, Brenda.
You know, it very well be the form that it comes in. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to understand, but these people that are involved in this have human life is of no value to them whatsoever. It's all about them shrinking the population, more control, and they will not, you know. The first thing they did right out of the hat, which threw up the biggest red flag for me, was when Democrats and Republicans alike came out and said, okay, we're going to make sure these pharmaceutical companies cannot be held accountable for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so now, I mean, they've got a green light to stack stateside, for lack of a better term, KIAs, you know.
And I think, too, in my line of thinking is that, you know, with Biden calling for this emergency state orders, or these state emergency orders, whatever you want to call them, because the old one actually expired. I read a little further. So that one expired already, so they had to redo another one. But we got primary elections coming up. You remember, Russell, I said this before, primary elections come up, they're going to come up with another virus. There ain't going to be no election. Not like what we think.
There's not even anything going on right now. And here in Texas, they've already said, oh, man, if you're going to do mail-in ballot, you get it in by such and such date. That's why it drives me so crazy that some of these for our governor, Hot Wheels Abbott there, made the fleas of a thousand camels infest his tent.
Right.
So China and Mexico cartels, man. It's just sad. And these people know no limit. They just really do not.
And, you know, we said this many times, too, is that they would rather murder all of us than give up that power of control, because right now the entire population is uprising against it and everything.
Well,
you know, it's been... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to inject, worldwide, the whole world is standing up and going, enough of y'all's bullshit, you know? And then you see tyranny and the finest farm come out. Canadian government, anybody who supported this convoy, the drivers, all their accounts have been closed, seized, or whatever you want to call it. You know, their money has been completely cut off. Like I said, if they're not going to respect the peaceful protest, I mean, what are you going to do? And a lot of the people here are they're saying, you know, oh no, this is set up, you know, it's a trap, all this. Well, you know, at some point in time, and I think Virgil may have been right on this. At some point in time, the American people have got to all wake up. But as Virgil said, and I grow to agree with him more on this every day, that's not going to happen until these mindless, often their device people wake up when they start taking their stuff. You know, and when that happens, it's going to too late. The country's going to be lost.
Yeah. And Karen, one of the things I want to ask you, by chance, if you do get elected as governor and everything, do you think you might open up an investigation to some of this stuff? I mean, if you had that power to do so, would you do it?
Definitely. And that's one reason why they're trying to suppress me from running, and that's why I had to switch parties. Is because the things that you talk about what needs to happen and to get to the bottom of certain issues. And when you get heavily deep into what makes New Mexico so blue, a lot of the lines go back to D.C. and they come straight to New Mexico. I mean, Epstein was not a coincidence. We have those different ties here, and it goes back to certain people. But we have so much corruption here, and everyone tries to say, well, the political players always say, you only have to have three or four, you know, things, topics to cover in your platform. But my answer was, well, New Mexico has 100 problems. You have to have 100, you know, platforms to make sure you cover everything. And corruption is one of the big ones. And Indian country is part of that package because they fight over the Native Americans, but they don't talk about it. It's a hush-hush thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask yourself, why did Jill Biden come to the Navajo Nation when she first touched down in New Mexico, then left right away? It's because when there's a changing of the guard, they have to make sure that their players are intact. And so when you think about Indian country and how they get $500 million sent in or $600 million sent in for COVID, but the people are still dying, and people like me are stuck with the medical bills. They don't cover it. What? You know, where's the money going then? So you're looking at how we're facing corruption dead in its face, and no one wants to talk about it. And that's one reason they sent me on this political journey, is because there's so much corruption, even with people dying, because we also have missing, murdered, and indigenous women, which ties directly into human trafficking. Mm-hmm. We are still hemorrhaging young women and children here. We lose one to two, three a week, and no one talks about it. We need to track it down, and we need investigations. We need audits in every department. We need to know where the money is going. It's our taxpaying money. It's New Mexicans' taxpayer money. It's federal government, the American tax dollars. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that we get to the bottom of this and clean it out.
I could tell you where it's going. The president of the Navajo Nation there is you know, kind of living off that and not giving it to, you know, to where it needs to go. And I know I'm going to get a butt chain from this, but, you know, it's actually true. And because, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of deal thing,
and
everything.
Him. You have all the players, all the council members, all the way through. And it's not just the Navajo Nation, it's other tribes, too. Then you look at all the nonprofits across the place. There's so many nonprofits right now claiming 501c3, but a lot of them are manipulating the system. So it's a big scheme. So we need to dig deep, and it's going to be pretty rough. I know I'll probably get, chastised for it, but I want to know the truth. I want to know the answers. I'm sick of living like this.
Yeah. Right. You know, and you know, because, you know, like I was telling you earlier, you know, I've seen this on both ends, very deep, and it's scary when you find out things Russell could tell you. You know, there are things that I know that can get me killed and everything, you know, very easily. But it's like, what do? You know, like I was arguing today and I wasn't going to bring it up, but it's like I was arguing today with the Republican Party. I told you all about that. And it's like Russell says, and I agree with him 100%, and Virgil says, there is no more two-party system. It don't exist no more.
Yeah, and I think the breakdown happened even before I was born. It already started. You know, when I was a young child, it was happening. So how can they blame me for the whole thing? I'm like, I just got here.
Right.
And the thing about it is I'm calling it and see it. So they keep...
They got to blame somebody. You know, well, I warned you, Karen, before you got into it, I go, be ready.
Right.
You know,
and we're handling it. So every time I throw a curveball, we hit a home run. So we just keep moving forward.
Right.
And I think it's the people that's going to have to save themselves. The people have to stand up and get off the couches and quit whining and actually help. So that's what I keep saying is either watch me do it or help me. I mean, either watch me fail or help me win. You know, and that's the only way we
like
have.
Russell,
it's all we have left.
Like Russell says, you know, everybody needs to wake up and everything, you get involved and stuff. You know, it's not just in this, but in everything and stuff, you know. But I tell you, you know, I've been fighting beside you thick and thin with the same thing you have, you know. And everything, and especially with and I told Russell about my argument I had with Brett the other day. And you saw that 4-hour argument.
I did.
You know?
And he was sitting right there in court, acting like he was not part of the problem. I mean, he's sitting there, and they're funding the court cases against me. So I'm like, you are so guilty.
Right.
And
I'm surprised he didn't have me locked up. You know.
And I don't say anything. I keep it graceful, and I just keep on going and keep on moving forward with or without their help. But thank you for your support and also, you know, for seeing
you're welcome.
The truth. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, you know, we've been around each other for, 3 years now? 2-3 years now? And, you know, we've done some things and saved some lives and, you know, and saved some young women's lives that was getting their babies kidnapped and everything. And, you know, like I told you the other day, you know, that's what it's all about and everything. That's why we do the shows that we do. We expose a lot of stuff, too, you know, and everything, especially when it comes to human trafficking and stuff. And, you know, it's right now, it's like everything is so messed up. Criminals are having a spree there in New Mexico right now because of the illegals that are coming in. And Democrats are wanting more. You know, they were like, oh, we're going to help the crime. We're going to stop the crime. No, they didn't. What did they pass just the other day? Nothing to do with crime bills, you know.
Right, and they're sidestepping all the issues, and they're trying to make us feel better by Band-Aids. They're throwing Band-Aids at us, thinking it's going to fix it. When we need more than Band-Aid, we need actual, you know, resolution and solution. But yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
Right.
They're not doing anything. And it's not funny, but the Democratic Party, the leadership is losing their own Democratic base. They are leaving them and not necessarily re-registering, but they're actually going to vote for anyone but them, and they're going to lose their support system. And it's not going to be our fault because you know what? It's plain as day. The way they play the game is absolutely obvious and disgusting.
Well, that's what I was saying today, you know, and I go ahead, Russell.
What I was going to say is, they've lost their base, but I don't think it's going to matter because they've got away with fraud once. The Republicans were just as much a part of it as the Democrats were. And I don't care. You stay there and argue with me till you blue in the face. You're never going to change my mind. The Republicans did absolutely nothing, zero, nada, zilch.
I said that today, Russell, and I made them all mad at me.
You know,
I said that same exact word. I made them all mad at me.
when you actually stand up and say enough's enough, and I'm not going through this dirty process, because they were trying to strain us, you know, and put us through this whole mechanism where they only spit out the candidates that they want to lose. Because in New Mexico, I think they actually pay us to lose. And the Democrats win consistently. And I left the Republican Party. I've never been a Democrat, but I left the Republican Party this past month, the past few weeks, and I had to fight in a court of law to keep my candidacy.
Right.
But, the Republicans are just as dirty. The top shelf, now we're not talking about the people, the upper shelf of top deck of both these parties is the same head of, the two heads of the same snake.
Right. If you remember, that's what I told them and Brett and even called him a Judas, and he got so mad at me. I go, you're all in the same snake pit together, you know, and everything.
Well,
but go ahead, Russell. But anyhow, you know, the thing is that it's going to be a crazy ride, and these people are, like, you know, Russell said many times, these people are not stupid. They're insane. They're stupidly insane, you know, and they're not afraid to show it.
Well, I mean, you've also got to take in consideration, you know, I just heard, I guess, that, well, you know, it's just the top echelon people that are dirty and the ones running the party. I have to disagree with that because, you know what, you might not be taking any money, but if you're sitting there going along because they tell you that, hey, you know what, you speak up on this, you know, when it comes time to divvy up funds for the election, you're not going to get any. And I tell you what, if you're sitting there doing nothing, and you're just as guilty as the people doing it. I'm sorry. I have no respect for government at this part, from federal to state. And I'm in the state of Texas, and Hot Wheels Abbott should be tarred, feathered, and run out of the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. He has sold us to he has sold us to Mexican cartels, you cannot walk on a road construction, highway construction job, or subdivision where they're building new houses. And I dare you walk out there. I'll make you two dares. One, I dare you walk out there and find someone that speaks English. And two, I dare you walk out there and find a white man or a black man working on those jobs. You want to talk about racism? There it is, baby.
Right.
I said it pretty strong.
Right.
And actually, the observation is pretty dead on, actually, because we see that too as well. For me, being a candidate, I'm very careful about not to insult the people that are supporting me. But what you say is correct. The complacency and sitting on the fence and riding the fence and seeing what's going to happen isn't helping nobody. And that's what we've been telling them, is to pick your candidate and stand with them and fight with them, or don't, and watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's frustrating because a lot of them will fence it. There's so many fence sitters with opinions, but you don't see them doing anything about it. And that's what
the
frustration part of it is. It's very frustrating. I understand.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I tell you, though, just brace yourself, because it's going to be so rocky out there. So, you know, but I tell you, it's like, you know, I've been in this now for 15 years, but I didn't really get into it this deep till about 3 years ago when I was in Atlanta, Georgia. That's when I realized how corrupt it really was. Just through it there, and I was like, wow. You know, I remember.
You know, and,
go ahead, Russell.
And it really, what really bugs me is you have people that actually believe that the Republican Party is better than the Democrat Party. And I'm going to say it again regularly, because I think people need to hear it. I had a wise old lawyer, a mentor of mine, who served in Korea, sitting there talking to him one day when I was fighting demons. I was rambling on about this and that, and he pretty much looked at me and said, "You're not thinking this through. The right wing and the left wing, they belong to the same bird." And that was one of the most profound things I ever heard, and I started really looking, and you know what? He was 100% correct. It's all about bowing down their pockets, and the American people haven't been served by their government for at least 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But I tell you, you know, I said that too, Russell. I said that to me too. He even made him more mad at me. You know, and it's true. You know, and I told him, we go, "You guys are in the same bed together. You guys, you know, you're trying to hand on me." I go, "This is why I switch parties." And they're like, "Well, you're not loyal to the Republicans." I go, "Why should I be? You guys fight like 2-year-olds.
Well,
right. That's what I'm saying. Is it correct to say it's almost, they say, well, we're being infiltrated? You know, the whole walkaway movement brought in a bunch of very progressive Democrats underneath the cloak of, you know, conservatism, and they moved into the Republican Party, and they say we're being infiltrated, but then I think we have been infiltrated years before, because the people that have worked themselves into these positions, it's crazy because, William, as you probably been today and before, is when people fight with them, they fight like leftist progressives. They're very emotional. They get personal. They freak out. But a true conservative stays factual. And so you actually will, if you pick a fight, you'll actually see who how they react So that's what I'm saying is how do you change your principles, morals, and values from one party to another and then act like you're mm-hmm. actually a conservative? So when you pick a fight, you basically mm-hmm. see what they're made of.
Well, and then you have, you know, well, and then a problem for those who are truly conservative is you have, and the number has grown exponentially, you have someone like me. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a constitutionalist, okay? And, you know, let's just look at the last year since we're coming up on the midterms and stuff like that. What have the Republicans done? Not a word. But the election day is coming, so, boy, they're going to start thumping their chest, and we're going to change this, and we're going to do that. It's the same dog and pony show every 2 and 4 years. And I don't mm-hmm. care how good the person is that you send to Washington, D.C. I don't care how true they are to themselves, their cause and their agenda. They will be one of two things. They will be beat down or they will be compromised. And and you can go, you can have an election every other day, twice on Sunday, and you're not going to change anything. All right, because these idiots that go to D.C., they're not truly running anything. You know, people here talk about the deep state. I don't know if they really understand what the deep state is. The deep state is entrenched bureaucrats who've been there for 20, 25, 30 years. They've gathered the power in all these little agencies that get to make up laws that don't even have to be passed by Congress. A couple of them, well, one I really like to point out is the ATF. None of the rules and regulations they set forth have been approved or voted by Congress. EPA, the same way with this New Green Deal, whatever the hell they're calling it this year. Those guys are entrenched, and you're not going to change any of that without a complete and total reset, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure I'm going to vote. And that's going to be the first time in many, many years because I'm just absolutely mm-hmm. fed up. And I'm not going to waste my time going and standing in line for somebody who's not going to do a damn thing except 2 years from now thump their chest and go, the other side's the bad guy. You know? Since you're a candidate running, how do you bring people like me back to the table?
Well, I appreciate what you're saying is because I know that you're frustrated. I'm frustrated too, but I think my frustration went way beyond that to a point where I'm absolutely livid. We either can sit there and we can piss and moan about it, or we can try. And I found a way to think hard about how to handle certain issues. And I've researched the system mm-hmm. so hard that you have to be able to get through the cracks of a completely chaotic mess. For example, mm-hmm. I flipped libertarian, you know, at the 11th hour when no one said I could do it. And I brought a whole voting block with me. So now I'm a candidate and I'm going straight to the general election now because I do not have a primary. I had to read the field. I had to learn fast and I had to research and I had to execute. I don't know what's going to take for you to actually feel the liberty burn in your heart and the constitutional to mean everything to you that you would lay your life down. If they put a gun to your head, is it worth it? And my answer is yes. If you believe that and you believe what our founding fathers laid before us in a republic that we have to fight to keep, then yes, you keep voting. Even if you vote yourself into the ground, you keep doing it. You don't stop. Because to sit back, you become complacent like everyone else we're talking about. But you have to believe. And I have that very small seed of belief in me and the drive so much that people can't talk me down from this. They keep telling me, oh, it'll never work. You're not electable. Mm-hmm. You're too Indian to understand. You're just a stupid Indian girl. I mean, I've heard it every day. But you know what? I'm leading it right now because you know what? They're so scared.
I've seen
him
call you that, that makes me mad when they do that to you.
I served my country as a United States Marine. I served my country as a PMC. I fought for freedom and liberty. Nobody needs to lecture me on my love of the Constitution or this country. But what I'm saying is the system is so corrupt that you're not going to fix it without starting completely over. And that's not going
to
happen.
Without a bigger understanding of what we're here for. Because my grandfather and also the Code Talkers came from my tribe. The Navajo Code Talkers, when you listen to them, they never allowed us to forget why they went to war, what it meant. And I'm not here trying to, preach to you or anything, but you asked me, how am I going to get you to vote? I don't know, but I'm going to give you my conviction. And how you take it is going to be a reflection of how you feel. But Grandpa always said, don't ever, ever quit. You know, this is our mother, America, in our language is Mihama. That means the United States, and that's what they use in the code-talking language, and it literally translates to our mother. Once we lose her, we lose everything. And we once it's gone and we can't get it back, freedom is what we're talking about. Once communism climbs into bed with us and begins to actually procreate, then we're in big trouble. So right now we have to clean out our houses, and we make sure we fight communism at every level. And it is, and it seems like a horrendous battle, but I can't listen to it because it'll break me. I can't. I have to be strong, and I have to put my leather skin on, and I have to keep moving forward.
Trust me. I'm ready for the battle that it's going to take to put this country back on its feet. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to stop passing these tyrannical laws. You're fixing to see... we've seen it in Canada, and you're fixing to see it in the state, what tyranny looks like. These people are not stupid. They have a plan. They have an agenda. They're sticking to it. They will destroy anything or anyone that gets in their way or do their very best to. And eventually they're gonna come for everything they want. And that's when what needs to be done is going to be done. I have no trust left for petitions at all. I'm sorry, none. That's just where I'm at.
You're lucky. I'm not a politician, actually.
Right.
So you're lucky. Yeah, we're fine. The thing about what you're talking about is what's already happened on Indian country. You're seeing your reservation being built around you. Everything that you're talking about already happens here. We've been living with it for 150 years, not having any access to fresh water. We're water haulers. We cannot tap into the water main because they won't let us. It's pure communism. We can't start businesses unless we get the blessing from the government. We can't do anything without permission from the government. And it's now built heavily around us. But we know how to get through it. We figured out how to use capitalism and get out. It's a weapon, and you have to understand that it's an actual sense of self-resilience that you have to, suit up with and move through in your life. But, yeah, they're building a reservation completely around America. So everything that you have seen and witnessed is just the beginning. Now you're going to see what it's like to be an Indian, and it hurts. And it hurts your children, and it's scary. And that's the truth of it.
Right, exactly. And it's like, like with us, with our generation, me, Russell, and yours, I'm almost 60 years old. And it's like my friend was just saying now, and I agree with her. Our generation is so set far back with our ways and everything. It's going to take us just to get everybody out of it, and everything. And We don't have nothing to gain or nothing to lose,
The thing is, if you want to look at it in that kind of layout and stuff like that. Yes, people who grew up in our generation, we're tired of it, we're sick of it. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember now, this isn't something that's happened since Obama or Biden or anything like that. They have run the schools, completely took over the school system in about 1990, somewhere around in there. Give or take a few years, one way or the other. And we now have two generations behind us that have been taught nothing but group thinking, follow the herd, and if you do not, there's something horribly wrong with you. You're a racist, mm-hmm. or you're a redneck, or, you know, you're a domestic terrorist if you don't follow the group. And that's two generations. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. And, you know, we can sit here and talk and go out on the campaign trail and give the best speeches that ever been heard, mean them with all your heart. You can be ready to go to work. But the truth is, we've got two generations of dumbasses that think communists, like, they're too lazy to work. Mm-hmm. They think everything should be handed to them. And to me, that's the mountain that has to be overcome.
Yep.
And as an old Marine, I'm not smart enough to know how to do that.
Right.
Well, I think New Mexico is pretty lucky because the books that you read on poverty and how socialism overcomes an actual people, and in order to get that the people out of it, it's going to take two generations. This is from the scholars when they teach this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've already put it into actual literal practices, and I'm able to – my husband came out of that bubble of socialism, even though he was completely indoctrinated into it. On our reservation, it took him 10 years to stand up on his feet and understand what it is to have true freedom. And we've taken all of our children who are great entrepreneurs, they're great conservatives, and they are tough. It can be done. I have just produced mm-hmm. 8 kids out of my home that are good, you know, people, good Americans. I do believe it, and I mm-hmm. do believe that if it's hard work, we can do it, and we have a plan for that. But I can't allow the cynical speak to make me feel like I'm doing this for nothing, because I've actually literally set aside
right.
years of my life and time and miles and tires and speeches, and they're probably not the best speeches in the world, but I am actually there putting my heart out on the line. But I think just to have mm-hmm. a little bit of respect for someone that actually believes, we do need a little bit of a support system. And to have that, mm-hmm. it's nice to have on people that will support you. Then you're like, okay, well, I'm not doing this for nothing. We have a huge Bedoni army right now. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So and the Bedoni army is growing in New Mexico right now. And so everywhere I go, mm-hmm. I cannot grocery shop or, you know, pump gas or do anything without people running into me. And I am a beacon of that mm-hmm. hope. It is about inspiration. But if I can inspire enough people to vote this in, we don't even know if it's going to work because, you know, then you got the Dominion machines and all the other crazy stuff you're doing going on with the election
mm-hmm.
fraud. But, hey, I've learned that by law, a candidate has the right to request an audit. So we're going to set aside a lot
mm-hmm.
of our funds. Whether I win or lose, I want a forensic audit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if I won
right.
fairly. I want to know if I won, if I lost fair and square. If the people weren't ready
right.
to be saved and fine, you know, we'll give it to somebody else. But at least I will go
right.
home and know that I gave it my best shot. And that's all I can offer
right.
right now. But I don't have all the answers, but I do have God. And that's all I have right now.
Right.
Well,
and I know with my – go ahead, Russell.
Don't take what I've been saying as an insult to what you're trying to do, because I do love seeing it, and and we have some people on here that are just absolutely I think would make a difference, but what you're going to run into it's more than just dealing with the problem. You got to deal with the people that created the problems and like the problems
yep.
they created. And, you know, unless you can send, you know, unless you can get elected, you know, 20 or 30 more people like you get in the office where y'all can build some kind of coalition and actually accomplish something, you know, I think a lot of people find out it's kind of like beating your head against a brick wall sometimes. And,
yeah.
You know, don't, you know, and like I said, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I appreciate what you believe, and it does my heart good to hear that kind of fire. I love it. I just, I look at things in a tactical manner, and the forces aligned against us are, at this point in time, now things change, battle lines change, you know, anything is possible, especially through our creators. I just don't think there's enough good people out there to pull it off. Too many of us leave me alone. I don't want to rock the boat. You know, yada 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 like that. And here, let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. This is the way I look at it. I think maybe 20% of the country knows and understands what's going on, what has to be done. At this point in time, are stone cold diehard COVIDians, and you could fly, you could sit there, pry their eyes open, and make them watch the truth 24/7. You're not going to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You have 50% of the country out there that is too busy with me to care about what they're leaving for their kids and grandchildren. And you know, I think that's where we are. And the question is, that 50% or what, to make a difference, you have to carry along with you. And I don't think enough of them really give I'm not going to use that word. I don't think enough of them really care about what's going on, as long as they can keep their bank accounts full and get the schools and colleges to babysit their children.
Right.
Well, I also think that you just named out the actual basic foundation of all people in America. We want a good education system. We want to be left alone. We want less government. We want, you know, to keep what we earn, less taxation. We want the government out of our bodies, out of our homes. That's a basic foundation, and that's all I'm campaigning on. Is I'm not promising, and I'm not trying to wake people up, because in our culture, I know that people want to be alarm clocks and shake people awake, you know, get up, what's happening. But that's not the way we operate in our culture. You do it very gradually, in a good way, and when they're ready to see it, they will see it. But if you keep the foundation solid, is that just the same simple foundation of the American way of life and freedom? I think we can do it. I think we can win people, and they will listen. And you do it in a very tactful way where they will begin to listen. Even the aggressive ones, you have to be able to, you know, stand your ground and talk to them. And then at the same time, you got the ones that are very, like children, they don't really understand, and you have to, you know, basically help them through it to understand. So that's the foundation is what you're talking about, and that's the foundation that we're campaigning on. And we believe that the American way of life is worth fighting for. But I think what you're talking about is it feels right now that it's new to us in our lifetime what's happening. But when you go back through history during the Civil War, what was happening, they were fighting, you know, there were different aspects, but they were still fighting. It felt like the country was going to rip itself in half. Then you go back further into history. It's since mankind has been in existence, we have been dealt with these types of challenges, and it's how do we come out the other end as better Americans, as better people, as better humans. And so it's a big part of it when you step back and not just look at this small part of history. You look at the big evolvement of humans and mankind. When you look at that, then it is worth it. It is worth playing a place in that historical part of it. Because if I do win this thing, I'll be the first Native American full-blooded to be a governor in this United States of America. And everything that Russell Means talks about when you go and do history on him, he will, you know, hopefully I make him proud, you know, in the next world that he's at right now, you know, looking down on us. So I see what you're saying, but the frustration and everything that you're feeling, I used to be that. And it, there was something that clicked in my mind and thought, well, you know what, Karen, you're not going to do any good if you don't do anything. And I think William, he said something, we have nothing to gain and nothing to lose, but I believe that the opposite. We have everything to gain and we have everything to lose because I love my life.
Mm-hmm.
I love my children. And
right.
I would, if I could have more babies, I would have had more children because it is a blessing.
Right.
But I don't see that bringing kids into this world is like so bad. So when you look at it from a good perspective, so everything is perspective. If you look at it from a good perspective, we can live in this world. We can progress, and we can defeat it. And I think we can do it.
Right.
You know what? When we start talking the way we're talking, other candidates will stand up during the, you know, different elections. And then I still have 30 seats to appoint to help me get this done in every department. We're going to trim the fat and hire people that are willing to work, and we're going to get it done. I know what the powers of the governor is. We're going to have to reduce those powers.
Well, me and Chris talked about it, my roommate, Ron Board, you know, whenever you're ready. You know, it's just, she likes to work with you on some stuff, you know. But,
you know
what I meant by having nothing to gain and nothing to lose is when you're old like us, like me and Russell and Virgil, you know, it's like really in a way, you know, when we're fighting, when we go out there and fight, I mean, actually get hand-to-hand fight, whatever it is, we have nothing to lose because we're fighting for what we believe in.
Well,
you know, fighting
for
our freedom and everything.
And you said something that I do agree with, and I'm sure you did. There's two more things that I'm going to have to buzz out of here. One is...
yeah, it's almost that time.
You know, people going, oh my God, who would want to have a child, you know, at this time with all this going on, you know, whether it's the tyranny here, the pandemic, whatever the case may be. And my thoughts on that are for the parents who did the job that you did raising your kids, there is no better time to raise dragon slayers than in the time of dragons. So, you know, if you have the right heart, and those people out there that have done a wonderful job raising their children and stuff like that, man, you get an occasional glimpse of it, but for everyone that did that, there's probably 10 that, well, let's just say 9 that didn't. So, you know, it's kind of numbers can be, in themselves, can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, last but not least, I'm kind of wondering, do you think the American people truly realize what freedom is? Freedom. True freedom and liberty is not an easy path. Guess what? You don't get to get any of my money to raise the 14 children you have from 13 different baby daddies. it's not my job to be your safety net. For years and years when America was that shining city on the hill, you know who took care of that? Neighbors, the churches. It didn't turn to dog do until the government got involved. And now I think if people, if we were successful and brought ourselves back to the country we're supposed to be, to live by the Constitution as it is written, I think half the country, maybe 2/3 of the country, would lose their damn minds. And that's just my thought.
I agree with you on that.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think that when pre-FDR, he's the one that created all this dependency with all his social programs, you know, trying to stimulate the economy. But that's when the beginning of the breakdown of, you know, welfare systems began, and it was actually solidified with LBJ when he came into office, he created solid social programs where people became dependent upon it. Now, right now in the school systems, they're actually training kids to get pregnant early and then to get on food stamps and then to work the system and don't get married. This is part of the curriculum. And it's not written, but it has happened. That's why I homeschooled all my children when that started to manifest, you know, in my kids' education. But thank you so much for your words. And also, I believe that, we have the power to, you know, raise dragon slayers, because the dragon is actually Satan himself when he fell from heaven. And that's who we are as Americans. I think this is a big test to see how much we love our freedom and how much do we love our America. Mm-hmm. And I do know what freedom tastes like. Oh, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Not to have to ask anyone
this,
for permission.
I agree. Yeah, I think this is a test of our faith, you know, and everything, and see how faithful we are, not in man, but with Christ, you know, and everything. And us, like with the argument I got into today, well, you're not faithful to the party. Well, no, I'm not faithful to man. I'm faithful to God. You know, there's a difference.
please don't misunderstand, listeners out there, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We have a moral and Christian duty to help those that cannot help themselves. Widows, orphans, the handicapped. We do. We have a moral obligation to help those people in any way that we can, and I fully support that. But I draw the line of supporting those who need help and the lazy. Even the Bible said, Jesus himself said, he who does not work, let him not eat. And you know what? I tell you what, if America did get hungry, I tell you what, I bet you'd see the border closed and a lot of deportation going on.
Well, it's looking that way because basically the grocery stores are looking mighty empty. Especially up here in the land. I went to Walmart the other day to try to go shopping, and they didn't have anything, you know, and stuff. So that's why it's getting there. Just wait till the convoy starts here in the United States. You're going to see a lot of panic when the shelves are empty and stuff.
Well, guys, I got to cut out of here. I got a really early day tomorrow.
All right. Well,
best of luck in your campaign there. You're a ray of light in the dark tunnel. Don't let them defeat you. Keep fighting and keep those dragon slayers in line.
Thank you so much.
Right.
God bless you.
Well, we're going to close the show here just a bit, and we'll be back here tomorrow night, and this show will be uploaded on iHeartRadio and Spotify in just about 15, 20 minutes. But I tell you, Karen, you know, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, always is. And, you know, and the thing I wanted to tell you, too, before we close is that, you know, Marjorie Greene, very good, very, very good friend of mine and everything. When she first got into this, she was, you know, she was never in politics and everything, too. And they ridiculed her so much. But we kept pushing her and everything and stuff, like we're doing with you and stuff. So, you know, it's going to be a big fight, but I strongly think you're going to get it. I really see it.
Thank you so much for that.
And
your support is amazing.
And,
I watch your posts. It's great.
Right. So, well, like I said, I've been in this game for almost 15 years, and I pretty much can see through a lot of stuff, you know, and everything. And it's just like, you know, we talked about earlier, I wanted to say this too, you know, I was married a while back and married a wife that had 8 kids. And raised them as my own, and my youngest, who's my son, you know, he got caught up in the system here in Berlin or in Los Angeles and everything because, like what you were saying, these kids are indoctrinated and everything. And I raised them to be, you know, a Christian boy and everything. And he got away from all that and got into the drugs and, you know, and everything else. Well, now he's having to do time because he almost burned down the town. Not too long ago and everything. But I read out of that and out of all the other kids, they all turned out pretty well because they weren't in the indoctrinated system. In fact, one of them's a cop up in prison. And, you know, and everything and stuff. But it just breaks my heart to see how these kids in his generation, the 22-year-olds, that are all lost. There's so many lost kids in that generation. And I think we have a lot of work with us to work with that, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that you said that you raised him as a Christian, and he knows when he's ready and when he hits that point in his life, he will know where to turn. The scary thing for some people mm-hmm. is they don't have that foundation and they don't even know who or what or how to even conceive or think about God. But the fact that you gave me that little bit of hope, I think he'll come back to you, and that'll be my prayer for you tonight. I'll do that, and I'll put him in my prayers. But I want to thank you for everything and inviting me on to this. Yeah, and for all the kids here in New Mexico, because you know what? They're the ones that have lost the most, I think, in this complete nightmare that we've been through, because we've seen so many suicides. We've seen so many kids get their educational, suppress their education, their minds, their confidence. Everything has been impacted in our youth, and so they've been one of our biggest priorities. And so I love the youth, and I love what we're fighting for. And I want to also thank them because they're also one of the big powerhouses of my campaign. They do all of my media for me, and they really help me along the way.
Right.
Because, you know, as older ones, we have a hard time with, you know, simple things and simple functions. And when we get out there to really campaign, it's the youth that will pull us along. And when we get tired, they walk for us.
Yeah.
When we get, you know, when we get tired of doing different things, they help and they fill in. But this is why I'm doing it. It's for the children, for the unborn America we're fighting for. And that's why I'm on this journey.
Right.
It has nothing to do with me. I don't want a career. This is not something that I set out to do, but this is something that is required of me right now at this time. But thank you so much, and maybe I'll meet Margie one of these days.
You're welcome.
She's one of my I really admire her and her fight. Pretty good.
We're going to have to meet up again and everything, and you know, and stuff. But till then, you know, we'll keep talking. Just we'll text each other and call each other and keep in touch and stuff.
And if anyone out there wants to get to know more about me or wants to donate to our campaign out there that wants to help us in our fight to save New Mexico, you can visit bedonituff.com or karenbedoni.com, and you'll learn more about me. But thank you so much, William.
You're welcome. You have a safe drive home and everything. You be careful out there.
Yeah, thank you. Take care, all right? Bye-bye. God bless you.
All right, you too. Good night, everybody. We're going to close the show. We'll be back here tomorrow night. Look for you then, so y'all will just be careful out there.
Join us Monday, Tuesday, Thursday at 7 to 9 Mountain Central Time. Follow us on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all podcast platforms. Let's go, Brandon.
With another man, now I'm doing 99. At a prison down in Georgia,